Today on Real Life Radio.
The Holy Spirit says to me, that thing that I've brought to you, Jack, over and over again, I'm bringing it to you over and over again, asking you, are you doing it? See, my first nature is, what? I've heard that before. God comes right back and says, I don't care if you've heard it 1,000 times before. Are you doing it?
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Real Life. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message titled, Now's the Time. You know, as we approach the end of Revelation here, there's a sense of anticipation and a sense of achievement for that matter. You see, New Testament writers warn the church to be watching for the Lord's return. You know, the truth is a lot of end times prophecies have already come to pass. Now, this not only gives us hope for His return, but a sense of urgency to keep the words of this book in our hearts. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that now's the time to watch and pray for the Lord to come back quickly. It's also time to give ourselves wholly to Him in worship and in our daily lives. Now, in his message called, Now's the Time, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Father, this morning we ask you, Lord, that you would really take, as it were, a loving and precious crowbar and place it, Lord, into the center of our souls. And Lord, by and how you can, and only you can, make wide, pry open our very soul this morning, to allow your word to sink deep into our hearts. Lord, as we look to the closing events of the book of Revelation, and as we look to the things that now mean so much to us, may we as your people make a difference because a difference has been made in our lives. Father, for those that may be here this morning, they may be visiting, we pray that you would touch them and encourage them. Maybe there's those here, Lord, that are looking for a church, that you would speak to them and lead them and guide them as to where they would go regarding their home church. But Father, we pray for all of us this morning that this is our home church. We ask you, Lord, that you'd cause us to be a non-spectator church, a church that is a worshipful church, a church, Lord, that in the end, as we see in the book of Revelation, a church that honors you and blesses you. And Lord, no matter what the tide may bring in contemporary things and politically correct things of our age and of our time, Lord, may we be a church that is solely and strictly in love with Jesus and His Word, the Word of God. For Lord, it is this Word that we apply our hearts now to it. And we do so, Lord, now in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles then and turn to the book of Revelation chapter 22 and this morning verses 8 through 11. Revelation chapter 22, verses 8 through 11 in our teaching together. And the title of the message this morning is Now's the Time. Now's the Time. A call for us to be urgent and for us to be awake and to be ready in these last days as we prepare our hearts for heaven. Now's the time. Revelation 22, beginning in verse 8. John says here, Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who stood or showed me, I should say, these things. Verse 9. And he said to me, See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets and of those who keep the words of the book. Worship God. And he said to me, Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he who is holy, let him be holy still. As we come to this portion of the Bible, it's a small few verses, but powerful nonetheless. We're approaching the end of things that have been anticipated. The book of Revelation, as you've been taught, there are key things that we need to remember. And you know them well by now. That the book of Revelation demands that you will have first of all read the Old Testament. It is the book of Revelation that if you begin in Genesis and read all the way through to the book of Malachi, and you skip all of the New Testament and jump right into the book of Revelation, it fits like a glove. Why is that the case? Because the book of Revelation, by its very giving, by its very revelation to man, it presupposes something that you and I as Bible students, and it assumes that when the world picks up the book of Revelation, it will have had already available to the reader the Old Testament. What the Old Testament speaks about in every one of the Old Testament books, it is found or answered in the book of Revelation. Not to take anything away from the rest of the New Testament, but the book of Revelation is the culmination of God's revelation to mankind. It is the culmination of God speaking to mankind. And listen, and this is what excites us the most as Christians. It is the culmination, the bringing to a conclusion, God's epic revelation of history to mankind and the redemption of mankind through Jesus Christ. You could easily say, if you had to say one theme or one statement about the book of Revelation, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ regarding man's redemption. And that fact alone makes it, in my opinion, and in the opinion of many scholars before us, the most valuable, the most important book of the Bible. It's interesting, though, to note that it is often the most rejected book of the Bible, which is sad. Wouldn't Satan want that to happen if it's such an important one? But it's a book that demands expectancy. Before we get into this, follow along with me if you would. Look to your Bible in Revelation 22:7. Listen to the expectancy or the urgency that Jesus puts forth in this, the last chapter of the Bible. Jesus says, Revelation 22:7, "Behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed or happy is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Look ahead to Revelation 22:12. "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his deeds." Look again to Revelation 22:20. Jesus says, "He who testifies of these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." In urgency, and you might want to mark it down, in urgency regarding the imminency of Christ. We now come to the end of the book, but how does it conclude? Jesus turns and says, "All right, after all of this, I'm announcing this announcement to the churches throughout the ages. Be ready, be watchful." Bible scholar, Bible student, listen carefully. These three admonitions from Christ have nothing to do with the second coming of Christ, though it's found at the end of the book of Revelation. These three admonitions have everything to do with a current, living, viable, active church for each year of the last 2,000 years. This is a word that Jesus gives to all of the church ages. Be ready, I'm coming. It is the doctrine of imminency, meaning the immediate or instantaneous prospect of Christ coming for the church. And by the way, we need to be, like never before, very vigilant about his coming. Now, you might say this morning, "Jack, you've been saying this ever since we've known you." Well, that's nothing. Pastors have been saying it and preachers have been saying it long before I ever came along. And not only that, but Paul the Apostle, he not only said it during his earthly ministry, he wrote it in many of his epistles, that Christ would be coming for us to be watching. Not only that, Jesus said while he ministered on earth 2,000 years ago, "Watch and be ready." And I want to really stress that this morning as we get into our message, because you need to hear something and you need to hear it clearly. And I know what I'm about to say is going to rub some people the wrong way, quite possibly, but I want to assure you it comes from a heart of love. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 4, Peter warned us concerning the very day that you and I live in. He said, "Knowing this," and I wonder if we do or not, Peter assumed that we would know this, "that in the last days scoffers would come, walking according to their own lust." Now, you and I do not know exactly what those lusts are, but they walk regarding them. It's what drives them, whoever these scoffers are. And this is what they say, verse 4 of 2 Peter chapter 3, "Where is the promise of his coming. Church, I want you to dialogue with me. If you are given a promise, what does that breed in you? If I promise you something, should you not then be excited about the prospect of hope? You see, if I am able, and if you know that I am able to perform a promise, example, if I were to promise you, I'm going to give you $1 million if you just sit through this message, the inclination for you to sit through this message is not all that great. Why? Because you know I don't have $1 million. You seriously doubt that I can follow through on that promise. But if you happen to know I have $1 million, you might endure the message knowing that you could get the million. You know what I'm saying? You have an encouraging word. A word that is encouraging comes from a promise, but a promise is only good by virtue of the fact that it can be backed up. And so the promise is given. When these people that Peter warns about of the future say, "Where is the promise of his coming?" They're actually saying this. Where is the promise of the hope? Because a promise builds hope. Where is the promise, that thing that you hope in? Where is it? They will mock you in the last days. They will walk according to their own lust. My opinion, Jack's translation, to sell books, to get you to respond to their radio program to send in money. Let me tell you the reason why you should not have the hope that you've been hearing about the promise of his coming. Do you hear me on this? There are robbers of hope out there, and Peter says they walk in religious circles, but they do so after their own lust. And here's what they do. They mock the promise of his coming. They say things like, "Where is the promise of his coming?" And this is what their argument is. "For since the fathers have fallen asleep, all things continue just as they are." In other words, Jesus didn't come back last year. He didn't come back 10 years ago. Oh, wake up. He's probably not going to come like you think he is. This is a dangerous, damnable doctrine that the Bible warns us about. And listen, it reminds me of what the precious Bible teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, said in one of his teachings. Now, I don't know if you listen to Dr. McGee, even though he's in heaven rejoicing with the Lord. I highly recommend you find him on a radio program and you listen to him. There's a special anointing about that old man. Well, he's not an old man anymore, is he? He's with Jesus. But, you know, he's the guy that says, "Welcome aboard the Bible bus. Come on the Bible bus," and sweet old guy. I want to tell you, and a lot of guys have stolen this story, and I'm going to give credit where credit's due. Dr. J. Vernon McGee talks about the nearness and the imminency of the coming of Christ. And he puts it this way in a story that he told so long ago. He says, there was once a little boy. He had grown up in a home where they had a very wonderful, large and loud grandfather clock that chimed every day of that young man's life. But he never really paid much attention to it until one day, that clock, as that boy was playing in the home, that clock began to chime, and it hit 11 o'clock, and then it came to noon hour, and it began to clang. And as it struck through the noon hour after striking the 12, even still, that little boy didn't pay much attention. He had grown up to the fact that that clock chimed on the hour. Well, when it hit 12, it hit 13, it hit 14, it hit 15, and that clock just kept on going. And as that clock began to chime on without stopping, that little boy got up and hurried his way to his parents and declared to them about the excitement of what he had discovered. He said, "Mommy, Daddy, listen to the clock. It's later now than it's ever been before." How did he say that? Why did he say that? Based upon the fact the clock was chiming and it got his attention. Why do I bring that up? Because the Bible tells us very carefully in Romans 13:11, the Bible tells us this, "And this we know, knowing this, that it is now time and it is high time." That means it's the right time for us to wake out of our sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. "The night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness." Let's stay away from them. Why? Because the night is past and the day is dawning. He says, let us put on the armor of light and let us walk, properly as in the day, not in revelry or in drunkenness or in lewdness or lust, not in strife or envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and from this moment onward, make no opportunity for our lust. That's important because there are those who are saying the Lord's not coming back for you at any moment. And many of them walk a walk guised in Christianity that, quite frankly, their walks are not all that commendable. But their message that they're stating will titillate people to buy books and to get involved in their programs. I just want to warn you that there are those that want to steal away from your hope. In Matthew 24:45, I'll paraphrase it. You can look at it later. Here, Matthew 24:45 and onward, Jesus warned about those who proclaim to be servants of God. And after time, they begin to give up on the hope of the Lord's return and begin to live a life loose. They begin to live a life sloppy. And then they begin to mistreat their servants. And they begin to act like the Lord's not coming back at all. And Jesus warned and said that that servant becomes an evil servant, not being expectant, not being practicing that doctrine of imminency that Christ could come at any time. Jesus said in Mark chapter 13, verses 35 to 36, he says, what I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. And so we need to be careful about that. And I want to tell you something. This is honest confession. It's a confession of mine that I want to make. Every time since we started this book of Revelation many months ago, this has been my prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd come back during the teaching of the book of Revelation. I got to tell you, Jesus, rapture us during the teaching of the book of Revelation. Remember we had the earthquake a couple weeks ago? I thought that was a precursor. Lord, come on. I pray now still, Lord, please come back during the teaching of the book of Revelation. You say, well, Jack, didn't happen. I want to warn you, we got 2 more weeks left in this book. And I'm going to be praying more fervent than ever before. Oh, Lord, come back. That's the heart and that's the desire of the believer. Oh, Lord, come back. So let's get into our study now. Just a few points, verses 8 through 11. We begin now with this, that it's a time. It's a certain time. Now's the time, point number one, for us to present ourselves to the Lord. To present ourselves to the Lord. When John says in verses 8 and 9, he says, now I, John, mark it with your pen, my friend. He says, I saw and I heard these things. Notice, he repeats it. And when I heard and saw. That's important because the first thing that we see is that we are to present ourselves to the Lord. Because why? Because of the days in which we live in. Church, this is going to be a very, very applicable message for us because it is practical for us. We, number one, now's the time for us as believers to present ourselves before the Lord. Why should we do that, Jack? Why should we do that now? Because of the days in which you and I live in. And here's the danger to the days that we live in. When John says, I saw and I heard, and he says again, I heard and I saw. Do you see that? That's important. When the Holy Spirit repeats words in the authorship of the Bible, we better mark them. John is saying, I am a witness and I'm telling you something. But it's not just John saying it. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through John to us. This was the report I saw. This was what we heard. It was this fact, this truth. Now listen. The word saw in Greek here is important. It means to take it in. It means to visually ingest it. When he says, I saw it, it means to stare at it. John says, I, John, do you see those words right there? Now, I, John. You can almost see him in court with his hand on the Bible and he's raising his right hand. For that is the wording that's used in the Greek language. John is making a testimony or he's bearing testimony. He is saying, I, John, do solemnly swear. This is a very serious moment. I swear to this, what I saw and what I heard about these things and when I heard them and when I saw them, my friend, this is key because it is not only that he is staring at it with his hand raised in an oath, but this is what the word heard means. He gave great audience. He brought his ears to the point of listening. The Bible warns us in the book of Hebrews that we as Christians, listen, we as Christians can become dull of hearing. I want to tell you something, and I'm going to indict every one of us, including me, in on this. You and I can become dull of hearing. We can sit under great ministries. We can sit under world-renowned works of God. But if our hearts become dull, our ears become dull of hearing. The spiritual ear is connected directly to our spiritual heart. And when we begin to say things like this, listen, when we begin to send in a message and say, ho-hum, I kind of heard this before. Stop right there. Is it because you are so schooled in the Bible that it's time for you to move on to another ministry or to seek God about how you should be involved in this ministry? It's possible. That happened to me before. I understand that. What a danger is not deciphering that clearly and saying something like this, ho-hum, I've heard this before. I don't need to listen any longer. I'm going to tune out. Stop right there. Is that because you've become dull of hearing? Oh, no, I don't think so, Pastor. Oh, no, wait. It could be because here's the question that I come back at you with and what the Lord comes back at me with. Jack, if you've heard Pastor Chuck Smith say this before, or if you've heard Billy Graham say this before, or if you've heard Chuck Swindoll say it before, the Holy Spirit says to me, that thing that I have brought to you, Jack, over and over again, I'm bringing it to you over and over again, asking you, are you doing it? Ooh, you know what I'm saying? See, my first nature is, what? I've heard that before. God comes right back and says, I don't care if you've heard it 1,000 times before. Are you doing it? And then I often throw my hands up and say, sorry, Lord, will you forgive me, please? Because sometimes I'm prone. John is saying, I solemnly swear, what I saw and heard, I heard and I saw. I heard it. I'm going to do it. Makes a difference in my life. I'm going to live it. That sets the tone for these following verses. Church, are you with me? You understand what I'm saying? It's all important. Charles Spurgeon said this to his school of ministry. Now, you might think this is a little easy. Charles Spurgeon said, I'm not so interested in your points and your subpoints and your exegesis and your homiletics and your hermeneutics. I'm not too concerned about your Greek structure and your Hebrew content to it all. This is what Spurgeon said to his students, that your message must be pregnant with Bible verses. He says, if it's that way, you will not fail. Think about it. Now, this is not a trick question. If you don't know, don't say. Maybe you just want to be quiet about it. According to the Bible, was Apollos a great speaker? The answer is yes. Apollos was an awesome speaker. He was so gifted, people loved to hear him talk. He was authoritative, he was powerful, but then Priscilla and Aquila heard him speak. They knew the Bible, and they said, can you come over here for a minute? And the Bible says they taught him more about the scriptures. And then Paul the Apostle shows up, who knows all the scriptures. You've read your Bible. Was Paul really eloquent at speech, or did it appear that Paul struggled with speech? Seems as though he struggled, didn't he? He was not a great orator, yet he knew it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Life Radio with his message called Now's the Time. Thanks for being with us today. You know, Now's the Time is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, you might feel like you're caught in a trap and temptation is waiting for you, right? Or perhaps old habits, newly disguised and repackaged, are catching you off guard. This month's Book of the Month is specifically designed to help you. It's called Temptation, The Battle of Your Life. It's written by our very own Jack Hibbs. It's a very practical book that offers us a very powerful and effective defense against these attacks. So don't let temptation trip you up ever again. The Lord has promised us that He will not lead us into temptation, but he's going to deliver us from the evil one.
It's one of the hallmarks of evidence that you are a true believer is that you now recognize temptation. So this book will walk you through some of the subtleties of our enemy.
The book Temptation is yours for a gift of any amount. It's available right now at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.